W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A jury in the Rudy Giuliani defamation case awarded more than $148 million for false accusations against two former Georgia election workers claiming they helped steal the 2020 presidential election. CBS News legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
I think what we're seeing is defamation law really is standing in as a way to protect people who are harmed by public officials who are engaging in disinformation and misinformation.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he feels deep sorrow after friendly fire killed three hostages during the country's ground operation in Gaza. Correspondent Natalie Brand.
Three hostages were mistakenly identified as a threat and killed during fighting. The identities released do not include Americans who remain unaccounted for.
And an autopsy shows Friends star Matthew Perry died from acute effects of the anesthetic ketamine. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's most powerful Republican says a deal approved by state university leaders Wednesday night is just the first step. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wants to eliminate what he calls cancerous diversity practices on campus. Milwaukee State Representative Dora Drake tweets, the fight for underrepresented groups continues. The deal trades downsized diversity efforts for $800 million in state funding. President Biden is coming back to Wisconsin. The White House says the president will be in Milwaukee on Wednesday to talk about his initiatives to help small businesses. It'll be Biden's third visit to Wisconsin this year, and it's a sign of how important Wisconsin is in next year's presidential race. Biden leads Donald Trump 58-48 in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette poll. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Waukesha man accused of killing his girlfriend and hiding her body still wants charges dismissed. Online court records show the new request was made during a hearing yesterday. Prosecutors have charged Matthew Paul in connection with the death of a 44-year-old woman whose body was found in a wooded area in Delafield in September of last year. Defense attorneys argue that there is no evidence to determine how the woman died, but investigators prevented surveillance footage showing Paul and the woman leaving their apartment together, with Paul returning alone, carrying the victim's belongings. There's another hearing next month. The old Northridge Mall has been put up for sale at $2 million. That presents an opportunity for the city of Milwaukee to buy it and knock it down. Governor Evers has recently earmarked $15 million for the mall's demolition. Bids on the property need to be in by the end of today. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County Municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Badgers volleyball season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers women's volleyball team tied the match at one apiece, but the Texas Longhorns, who won the national championship last year, took over up 15-3 in the third set and never looked back. Texas advances to the NCAA finals on Sunday against Nebraska. Wisconsin returns home today with a final season record of 30 wins against just 4 losses. Men's college basketball, the Badgers with a win at home, 75-60 over Jacksonville State. NFL, the Packers have a problem. A.J. Dillon, their most productive running back this season, suffered a broken thumb in the loss to the Giants Monday night. It doesn't look good for Dillon to play Sunday against the Buccaneers.
If there is some hurt, not making it a bigger issue than it is down the road. And then the next question is, will I be able to go out there and positively impact the team with me being out there? And so, you know, we still got some days left in the week. And, you know, those questions I got to figure out myself.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, there could be a little drizzle at times, and lows close to 40. More clouds for tomorrow, some rain developing in the afternoon, highs to the mid-40s. And a mostly cloudy day for Sunday, again in the mid-40s. A few rain and snow showers Sunday night. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at CivicMedia.us. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to previously recorded content on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie has her microphone muted. She needs to undo that. To
start Hi, everybody. Basics. Even I, friends, forget to unmute my microphone when I'm supposed to be talking. We are all human beings, aren't we? Thank you, Anya. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show with my microphone unmuted here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined, and I believe that we are being joined from the Big Easy by none other than the Maggie Dawn Show's good friend, Al Petrelli of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Hey, Al, how you been, man? You've been on tour for a while.
I'm doing great. It's so good to hear your voice. How are you doing?
We're real good here. It's a little chilly here in Wisco land. What's the weather doing down there in NOLA?
I went out this morning to get coffee. Sunny, 60. I'll take it. A couple more days in the south, and then we're going to be wiggling up that not too far from you guys pretty soon.
Yeah, one of your very last shows is going to be December 27th here at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Super awesome venue. The sound
Love
in there,
there.
Is, yeah, it is unbelievable on the Fiserv. I've been to a number of live music shows, and it is like crackling. You can hear everything. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. One of the best venues, I think, that's been constructed as of late, just in terms of pure sound quality.
It's so awesome. The folks in the audience are wonderful. Your town is wonderful. Your community has embraced us like we're coming home. The folks that work there, we've known them for like years now. What was the arena before that one that we used to play at? It's the Bradley Center.
So if you go way... Yep, Bradley Center was the most recent one.
And a lot of the staff in the Bradley Center, is over at the Pfizer now. And it's like seeing old friends, Oh, yeah, there's a concert this afternoon. There's a concert tonight. But, we spend more time just catching up on pictures of kids and grandkids. It's such a wonderful time.
I love that. It is one of the things that I think is really unique about Milwaukee. We see a lot of artists, stand-up comics, every kind of music that are like, hey, Can we start or sort of wrap up in and around Milwaukee because mm-hmm. of the very thing that you're talking about, Al? Like, it's many of the same faces. People are super, super chill, very nice, right? And there's a good vibe. And I like to think our audiences are some of the best.
They are some of the best. They're awesome. I mean, the fact that we're coming back and we're doing two shows and, people come out, I affectionately refer to some of these people as the repeat offenders who keep coming back year after year, they just want to be part of it. We love being part of the community. I love going to Usinger's, that's like one of my favorite places ever. Like, oh my God. So there's a lot about the community that we just have shared over the decades of coming through. And I'm just so thrilled that we're coming back. And it's only 2 days after Christmas, so everybody's still going to be in a good mood and happy.
Heck yeah, we might even still be, on some holiday time, which means people will be kicking back a few at the show and hooting and hollering. One of the
all
things
day,
that I want
all night, girl.
Right, enjoy so everybody. I love it. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, it's been really interesting to me to kind of some of the stuff that pops off on social media and whatnot about how audiences are changing, right? And I just, you've been on tour now for a while since October, man. That is a long haul. For your show and the vibe that you guys create, are you seeing any sort of changes in audiences and how they're responding? Or do you guys kind of get some consistent fans that always are careful to show respect and enthusiasm and are kind of there with you in the vibe?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, the folks that come out and see us year after year know exactly what they're doing. They're celebrating their holidays with us, you know, and I've heard thousands of times, you know, it's not the holidays too. You guys roll through town or we'll play your music in our home from Thanksgiving to Christmas, you know, so there's that consistency. But what I am noticing this year is people are a little calmer. I think every year we get further away from that pandemic of 2020, people are exhaling a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're okay with enjoying themselves. And you know what it's noticeable? The afternoon crowds, because usually they're the ones who come in and they're a little more sedate. Now they're getting like just as crazy as the night crowds, which is just so much fun. It's a little bit more energy. So somewhere in between those two, I think, is where we're sitting with the audience.
That's great to hear. I mean, that's one of the things that just it can be so transformative for people at live music shows is this collective sense of euphoria and excitement and energy that can be created. You mentioned something, Al, and I didn't get a chance the last time we hung out to ask you about this, but you just mentioned, you know, folks play your tunes from TSO, you know, starting in Thanksgiving. I'm sure some people earlier in the season, it's been part of how they mark this part of every calendar year. And since I have never been the sort of person that has the reach that you do or gets as many folks bringing me into their living room as you do, what is that? I mean, that is truly an intimate relationship. People attach all kinds of feelings and emotions to hearing your music. What has that been like sort of over the arc of TSO and especially for you as one of the founding members of the orchestra?
Well, it's one of the most complimentary, flattering things anybody could ever say. You know, I mean, as an artist, you know, what Paul O'Neill created so many decades ago, that people, you know, it's not like they listen to the record and say, oh, that's cool, and move on to the next thing. They put it on, like, when I was a kid, I'd watch Rudolph every year. Like, that became my comfy place, you know, or to this day, if I watch Miracle on 34th Street or whatever is your tradition, to become part of people's family holiday tradition, I'm so flattered and so taken back. And also, it's an enormous responsibility, you know, because you don't take things like that for granted. You don't take things like that lightly. So when they say we're coming back next year, or, you know, we've been coming to see you for 5 or 6 years because this is what our family does every year, well, that means we're going to work 10 times harder to make sure that next year's show is even better than this year's, or, you know, this year's show is even better than last year's. You know, we're working on next year's tour already, you know, and we're going to take about 2 weeks off when we all, you know, get home in January, and then pencil goes back to paper. Like right now, our managers are plotting the routing and what venues are available, where we're going to start, what we're going to do. And then we'll start having our meetings mid-January about, okay, what songs we want to do next year? What production ideas do we have? How can we make this thing bigger and better, you know?
And do you guys like workshop that? Yeah. Do you get together with your managers and like workshop those ideas? How does that come to be? And while we're at it, tell people a little bit about the flavor of your tour this year and what they can expect.
Well, all year long. So starting middle of January. So, you know, what are we going to do this year? Well, The Ghost of Christmas Eve is, you know, the film that we shot back in 99. And it really has become just like, you know, a favorite of so many people, myself included. And how are we going to present it this year? How are we going to make it look different? What's the front of the show going to look like? And then the second half of the show, what songs haven't we done in 20 years? You know, what kind of surprises can we have? What can we do that's different and more special? What effects, what production can we come up with that people have never seen before? And that was, you know, pretty much like a 10-month conversation, you know, with all the department heads, the managers, the O'Neill family, everybody involved. And we'll all disagree until we all agree. You know, and until everybody goes, yeah, that's a good idea. Then we know we're onto something, you know, so it's a lot of back and forth.
No kidding, man. I mean, I work in government You know the drill. It's all just right. It's all disagreement until everybody's like, "Hey, that might be a good idea. Let's do that."
And that's where it starts. And then it's a long conversation, because what would break my heart, you know, I've been there since 1995 when this child, if you will, first opened its eyes. Now it's approaching 30 years old, and I've watched it grow into something that exceeded all my expectations. What would break my heart if anybody ever was in the audience and says, "Ah, I saw him last year. I thought it was better." You know, that's never going to happen. You know, and
that's
and we all
that's a
keep
burden
that in mind.
To carry. I mean, that is every year when you go into planning, that's got to be heavy. Like, how are we going to do it better?
Yeah, but it's we love it. You know, again, it's like your child. You never stop loving your child. You know, even though this is like, you know, hitting 30 years old now, you know, pretty soon, it's still a little baby, you know, and you never stop. Look, I always compare it to like if you had a dynasty NFL team who won a bunch of Super Bowls, or even anybody who wins a Super Bowl, right? And all of a sudden, like, you know, you're in the middle of March and like all the accolades are in your rearview mirror and like, you know, that was a great season. Well, you got to do it again, and you got to be better than you were last year. You know, if you want a chance at that ring one more time, you're going to work all year long to make sure that it's better and bigger and just different enough to confuse everybody as far as the football team goes. For us, we just want to make it better.
I love that. Love the Super Bowl analogy. Really like the kid analogy, too. You know, it's a lifetime that love changes. And certainly the kid grows up and matures, and you all get to bring your next great artistic ideas to bear. I really have a lot of respect for the creativity and the collective commitment, all the folks that have to come together to make that happen. These are big tours. We talked about that last time. So many buses, so many moving parts. How many people remind folks, how many flatbeds, semi trucks do you guys have, and how many people work on your tour?
Well, there's probably about 100 people on the tour. I think I counted 21 tractor trailers and 12 or 13 buses. But then you have the office staff back in New York, you know, who are constantly working on this. You have, you know, it's just a mess. But you got to understand, if you go back to when we first started touring, which is 1999, okay, we had 7 cities on the itinerary, 1 box truck, a bus, and a fog machine. That was it.
Your fog machine, right?
Never forget my fog machine. Now we got 21 trucks, 12 buses, and a lot more fog machines. But it's grown up, again, going back to the child analogy, it's grown up, you know, over the years. We never lose sight of it. We never let go of it. You know, even though, you know, my oldest son is 37 years old, you know. He's a grown man, but he's still my baby boy, you know, and he'll always remain my baby boy, you know. And if this is Paul O'Neill's child and the O'Neill family child, then I'm just a weird uncle, you know. But, you know, I love this thing.
Al, somehow I completely believe you when you say that.
What about the weird part? Yeah, no kidding.
Right? And uncle, probably the most fun chair. Uncle. Yeah, most fun yeah, uncle, yeah. too. Yeah. So tell her how long are y'all on tour for? Like, how many do you get breaks? Like,
no. Well, we get days off, of course, but we will be out here. I think our last show is going to be in Minneapolis a couple days after the day before New Year's Eve, and then we'll all fly home.
Ugh. What's that like when you come home?
Awesome. You know, there's two things I love in my life. You know, my family and my job. Yeah. You know, and those lines are really blurred because most of the people in this organization, we've been together almost 30 years, so they are my family, you know. So when I get to Omaha, Nebraska for the first day of rehearsal, I'm like a kid in the candy store. You know, I love it so much. You know,
like
and
camp.
I love it up until I put...
Adult camp, I love it.
It's awesome. And then, you know, I also love when I put my guitar back in my case after the last show and said, all right, I'm going to go home to my wife and my kids. You know, so I'm really fortunate in that regard that I love both sides of the fence equally.
Yeah. Well, listen, from everybody here in Wisconsin, we appreciate you. We really dig what you do. We appreciate the effort. Everybody who's part of the TSO family. Folks, if you want to catch Al Petrelli, one of the founding members of Paul O'Neill's brainchild, his baby, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, everybody knows the music. We all mark our holidays by it. They're going to be at the Fiserv Forum for 2 shows on December 27th. You're not going to want to miss that. Al, what's your parting wish to Wisco land here for everybody's holiday?
I just want everybody to stay healthy and stay safe. You know, tell people that you haven't spoken to that you love them. You know, reach out. You know, Paul O'Neill's message in the story is, you know, loss and redemption. You know, so we have the opportunity. You know, somebody's always at the other end of your phone. you know, to say, just to reach out and say hi to. And that empty chair at your dining room table, always hold that memory close to your heart, because like I always say, I'd rather remember somebody and miss them than never to have had them at all in my life, you know? And if everybody just takes like a moment to just kind of acknowledge that, you know, I feel better when I do that anyway.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you for those wishes to the entire state of Wisconsin. I'm going to be looking forward to your show on the 27th. I will try to be there. We've got a couple of friends that I'm trying to wrangle up for a whole evening's worth of fun.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Heck yeah. Cocktails definitely included. Al, my thanks to you. Safe
love
travels.
Love and respect, my dear, always. Have a wonderful holiday season, and please stay safe, and love to your family.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new, or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue, or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to previously recorded content on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My thanks to my producer, Anya Esther, for being here with me. And my thanks to my guest that's going to be joining me at the bottom of the hour, Milwaukee County Circuit Court candidate Rochelle Johnson-Bent. Not going to want to miss that. We'll introduce the Civic Media universe to Miss Johnson-Bent and vice versa. So important that we get fresh blood on the bench. I can't tell you, there are some old duffers on there. More on that in a minute. But let's return to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Yeah, this guy. So, yeah, he went about soliciting securities investment clients without being licensed, paid a fine for that. But it got worse. He's now been indicted by a Texas state grand jury on three felony counts of securities fraud. So this is well beyond just, well, I started selling securities before I was technically licensed. He's facing up to 99 years in prison. Certain symmetry there, isn't there? Healthcare providers that help women have free choice about their healthcare, just like men have in all aspects of men's healthcare.
Do you know who else is facing 99 years in Texas right now?
Boom.
A groom who threw a $53 million wedding. Then also, I'm not kidding about this, he got in some sort of argument with a cop and fired a gun at a cop. And that also carries a potential maximum sentence of 99 years. All of these things cost 99 years to do in Texas. You can either shoot at a cop. What was the thing you were just saying that's 99 years?
Securities fraud.
Securities fraud. Or you can get or give an abortion. Those are the three things. They all cost 99 years in jail in Texas. Isn't that interesting?
It makes you wonder, like, how is Texas deciding on these criminal penalties? $53 million wedding?
I think he's weird. He's a whole other story. But I think they just roll a 100-sided dice and choose that way. I think that's how they're doing it.
Just in case you've lost track, Ann Richards, a woman and a Democrat, used to be the governor of Texas. That was actually, Texas used to be a blue state. I've digressed. Okay, Ken Paxton, three felony counts of securities fraud. You might be asking, well, is it like a technical thing? No. He was selling shares of a tech company to people without telling people that the tech company was paying him to do so. It's like the first thing they teach you if you want to become an investment advisor or a securities trader or a lawyer is do not engage in conflict of interest things without disclosure. And even then, just try not to do that because it's generally not very good. And Ken Paxton spoke on January 6th in Washington, D.C. He's the one that asked the Supreme Court to overturn the election. Yes, it's this Attorney General, Ken Paxton. And if that wasn't enough for all of you, Mr. Quote, family values, Mr. Dear Miss Kate Cox, I don't care if you can never have children again because we have a criminal penalty for healthcare providers that allow women to exercise the free choice about their own healthcare that all men enjoy and all aspects of men's healthcare. Yeah, that family values guy. Yeah, he cheated on his wife. It's documented in the press. And who did he cheat on his wife with? An employee of Nate Paul, the guy that gave him the donations, whom he then did favors for as Attorney General that led to his impeachment. This is the Attorney General, Ken Paxton. I mean, you can't make it up. It's sort of like the Moms for Liberty gal and her hubby in Florida in the threesome, and now the husband has been credibly accused of rape. I mean, anytime anybody freaks out about my private life, my body, what I do in my bedroom, whom I do it with, I'm always like, what are you projecting onto me? What's so deeply troubling? By the way, you know, in the spirit of the holiday, I'll be covering some of the hypocrisy related to sexuality, sexual mores, et cetera, that is just rampant in the GOP. That'll be next week, you know, right as we all roll into the last bit of the new year. Here's what was partially just so extraordinary about the filings that Ken Paxton made in response to the Texas trial court ruling. He basically issued an open letter to all healthcare providers that said, I don't care what that trial court in Texas said. If you give Ms. Cox an abortion, I will prosecute you to the full extent of the law. So though he swore an oath to the Texas Constitution and is supposed to be the person that upholds Texas laws, including even decisions from courts that he may not personally agree with, in the wake of that court's decision that the abortion that Ms. Cox has been seeking does fit within the very vague, I would say, void for vagueness, exceptions under the Texas abortion ban statute, he went out and said, no, I'm not going to abide by that. And then he filed his request to the Texas Supreme Court to, again, prevent Ms. Cox from seeking abortion, and now she's had to flee the state of Texas. Here's how her lawyers responded to Attorney General Paxton's filing. The Attorney General's petition is stunning in its disregard for Ms. Cox's life, fertility, and the rule of law. Her current non-viable The state claims that it alone has the power to value Ms. Cox's current non-viable pregnancy more highly than Ms. Cox's own life and the life of the future children she and her husband hope to have, regardless of Ms. Cox's wishes for her family and the good faith advice of her medical team. We ask this court to remind the Attorney General that he does not exist outside the systems of laws of which he is an officer, and that he must follow court orders just like the citizens he purports to serve. Indeed. And I just want to emphasize, in case any of us are missing the point here, that her need for the abortion is immediate. The choice is stark. And again, the Texas legislature made a choice not to clearly define what medical exceptions would apply to their draconian six-week abortion ban. Shame on them, and shame on Attorney General Paxton. When I come back, I'm going to be joined by Ms. Rochelle Johnson-Bent, candidate for Milwaukee County Circuit Court. So excited to have this conversation. Keep it locked, everybody, and join the conversation. Text Johnson-Bent, candidate for Milwaukee County Circuit Court. So excited to have this conversation. Keep it locked, everybody, and join the conversation. Text Johnson-Bent.
Welcome to Carroll University Basketball on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You are tuned into your place for catching men's and women's home basketball games all season long. These two great programs are proud to represent your university city and the state's oldest college.
Carroll University Basketball is brought to you locally by the Shaw, WAUK, and Civic Media. Now, here's Don Brown with all the action. Let's go, Lions!
Welcome, basketball fans. And correction, we are not at the Van Mail Fieldhouse at Carroll University. We are at the Kurt Larson Student Event Center at Waukesha North High School for our Friday night high school basketball game of the week. But I think it's glad we gave that shout out to Carroll because for those of you who missed it, I broadcast last Saturday a game for the ages as the Pioneer women basketball team upset undefeated number ninth ranked top of the CCIW Millikan in overtime, 101-98, led by 30 points from Olivia Rangel, the CCIW Player of the Week for the second time this season, which has only gone 5 weeks. And she was also named to the All-D3 national team this week. So congrats to the junior from Franklin, Olivia Rangel. And, you know, folks, if you haven't already, I encourage you to get out there to watch both Carroll men's and women's over at Van Mail. It's both coaches, Lindsay Schultz for the women's and Taylor Jansen for the men's, have really put out an exciting product. Great fan experience and great experience for the kids that like to play basketball. Some real great learning moments and just a lot of fun. Both teams being very competitive. So, but we are back at Waukesha North. We were here last week where the North Stars played a really tough game against crosstown rivals Waukesha South and then really turned on the heat at the end, winning by 14 against the Blackshirts, 77-63. And so they're back at it tonight, and they're going to face, again, just like what Carroll did last Saturday, the North Stars will be facing the top of the Classic 8 in Kettle Moraine, the Lasers. The team that went all the way to state last year, and they may have lost a few to graduation, but they've certainly reloaded, and they got a great team, and North will have its work cut out for them. We're catching the tail end of the JV1 game. The JV2 team for North Stars won, so it was great to see. It was a really great effort. They won 55-49. JV1, not the same story. They're losing 57-31 with 2:13 left to the Laser JV1 squad. So hopefully the fortunes will reverse for the varsity when they take the floor next. In a little less than 2 minutes, they'll be warming up. So, but, you know, a lot of great stories here. North has a tough attack led by Coach Brandon Redman. They move the ball around well. They play a really aggressive D. So I think they'll match up. This will be an interesting matchup with KM. They're both about the same on size. They do have a few players over 6'4 for both teams, but it's the guys 6 feet and under that really do a lot of the damage here for both teams. So should be an exciting matchup, especially North Stars lost a tough one to another elite Classic A program, Arrowhead. And former North Star Jace Gilbert, that was on Tuesday night. So North's out here, you know, they're pretty fired up for some, I guess, vindication, if you will, especially against another tough Classic 8 rival. And we're excited. And it's also,
the annual, I forget the name, Christmas cookie night, if you will. There's some baked cookies for sale out in the hallway. And Santa has also come. It's only fitting that the North Stars have their good friend from the North Pole coming to visit and bestow his goodwill on kids of all ages. So it's not too late if you're thinking of coming in. If you have a Christmas wish list or your little ones do, come on out and say hello to Santa and spend an evening watching some great basketball. If not, just pull up a seat and you listen to Don Brown here. Hey, we welcome those listeners from the Maggie Dawn Show that appears 6 to 7 Monday through Friday. Fantastic show. And one thing I do share with Maggie Dawn is our fantastic producer, Anya, or Anastasia, and she is here tonight running things from back there at the studio. And she'll be back with me tomorrow morning for This Week in Waukesha at 7 a.m., and it's going to be a really special episode. I have the Swartz brothers, Billy and Julian, and anyone that knows anything about Waukesha basketball, when you hear the name Julian Swartz, you have to recognize that name. He's considered the greatest, arguably the greatest basketball player in Waukesha High School basketball history, for sure the greatest at Waukesha South. His senior year in 1999, he was the Wisconsin Associated Press Player of the Year. He was a freshman that saw a good amount of time on a Wisconsin team under Dick Bennett that went to the Final Four in 2000. And then, finished his career at Carroll and then got a couple degrees in psychology and had a great career as a counselor. And also as a collegiate basketball coach, doing some tours of duty at top programs like Memphis and Georgia Tech. And he's also currently scouting for Northwestern University in the Big Ten. So it's really going to be great to have Julian on. And of course, Billy's had a great he was also a great basketball player in high school and also excelled in soccer and played soccer and basketball at Ripon. Was the varsity basketball coach at South before handing the reins over to Bo Richter somewhere around, I think it was like 2011 or 12. And then was an assistant at Carroll University's basketball program for a few years. But a lot of success on the soccer pitch as the head boys varsity basketball coach. 3 straight playoff appearances. Last 2 years, I believe they've gone all the way to the regional final there. So a lot of success for Billy Swartz, who also coaches phys ed. And also the Swartz family, you know, the 3 generations of Swartzes have been involved with Waukesha South, either as students or coaches or both. Billy and Julian's dad, Bill, coached for many years. I believe he was the head basketball coach at South and is a retired 6th grade teacher in the Waukesha School District. So just a great, it's an honor to have one of these great Waukesha families on that's been here for generations and has a lot of stories, a lot of history of Waukesha to share with us. So I encourage you to check that out. There will be some other announcements as well as some other news that we'll be covering. So be sure to check that in. Pete Schwabel will be calling in. He is one of our newest Civic Media product offerings Monday through Friday, and you can catch him here in WAUK 8 to 10. And it's all about kind of Wisconsin pop culture and all things Wisconsin. And it really is a fun show. I was a surprise guest the other night, and a lot of fun. And Pete's from the Marinette Schwabas. And he's going to be calling in to talk a little bit about the show and why you can't afford to miss it. So, but back here at Waukesha North. A little bit of a din. You know, this time last week, we were still playing a JV game that I believe went to overtime, and the Blackshirt JV1 team won after being down by like 6 or 7 with like less than 3 minutes left. And so it was a really valiant effort by the JV1 Blackshirts, led by Luke Trendle of the Banting Park neighborhood, Predominion Park more specifically, and as well as Gavin Karinko, also from Banting Park, were some of the heroes in that effort. And unfortunately, it didn't go the same way for our varsity team, although it was a 1-point difference at halftime and a really well-matched first half and half of the second half, which the lead changed hands many times. You know, that was at 1 point South. They were up by 7 with like 15 minutes left and had a lot of momentum going for them. But this really gritty, resilient North Star team pulled out all the stops and really opened up the hurt wagon there in the last 5 minutes to put the game on ice. Lights are going out here, so I think there may be a special presentation, and I think it has a holiday flavor to it. Oh, they went off. Now they're back on. And so I think we're in for a little surprise here, at least me. This is my first time at a North game that's involved Santa Claus and baked cookies. So I know South had their their cookie walk a couple Sundays ago. That was very successful. Student section doing pajama night. So that's fun. We see a lot of flannel, jammy bottoms. The Laser varsity basketball team now getting ready to come out. They've got the Indiana Hoosier-style pants, but instead of cream and crimson, it's navy and gold. And Carl Anderson has just walked up. Will he be joining us? Coach Siano's going to come. Oh, fantastic. Excellent. Have a seat, Coach. Vince Siano, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we met last fall at the Ocon game.
Yeah.
So have a seat. Great. This is the Waukesha North head coach, Vince Siano. I'm really honored to have him back on. Carl Anderson sitting next to me. And Carl, I'm going to hand you the mic in case you want to jump in, you know, anything you need to clean up. But I know, I'm sure Vince gives a great interview, so I really enjoyed meeting you that first time. As you might recall, my daughter has been seriously involved with one of your former players that you know as Bobby Boucher. We know him as Jonah Radomski. So we had a good laugh about that. So, but how excited are you that North is leaving football, anyways, leaving the Classic Eight and going into a more, so we say, equitable conference in the Parkland?
Oh man, the excitement!
Move this over here to here. There you go.
There we go.
Excellent.
The excitement's unreal from the parents, the community, to even the school. Kids are talking about it just for an opportunity to compete.
Sure.
With guys in the same division nonstop instead of getting beaten down week after week.
Yeah. You know,
that's that. Something exciting like that hasn't happened in a long time for Waukesha football.
Sure. Has that, like for South, has that helped increase your numbers for the youth for the junior football program?
Oh, yeah. Anytime people see me, they're like, hey, we're going to come out and play football this year.
I love it.
I'm going to come back. I haven't played since sixth grade, but I want to come back.
That sounds great.
You know, numbers are going up from youth and high school level.
Sure, sure. Now, when we were broadcasting last Friday, we saw your quarterback doing the same damage on the hardwood, A.J. Curtis, and I know you'll be missing him. Do you have a plan for his successor yet, or is that still up for grabs?
You know, AJ doesn't like to say it because his brother is his successor, Connor Curtis,
sure,
right now.
Okay.
So, you know, AJ always wants to hold that throne of being the best Curtis brother. But
well, there you go.
Connor, as we call him, CC, is going to have something to say about that because he's also a really good quarterback as well.
Yeah, you know, I think I remember that. And I remember Coach Radomski, your baseball counterpart, talking about how Connor, in many ways, arguably could be more gifted than AJ. So, I saw he did a heck of a job as tight end, and he certainly had the size for it. So that's nice when you have a quarterback like that, too, that's hard to bring down.
Oh, yeah, even a selfless guy like that moving to tight end and just trying to get in the field to help out and going back to quarterback to do what he can to get those wins on the football field, which we all want.
That's terrific. So what is there a new, plan of attack now going into the Parkland, or will it be kind of the same approach you had with the Classic 8, only with, you know, I guess a more level playing field?
You know, the plan's the same, right?
Yeah.
Build these kids up, teach them football.
Sure.
You know, it's more than football, but now it's, hey, we can actually win this, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of these teams we haven't beaten in the last 20 years since they joined the Classic 8.
Yeah.
You know, so when you say to the kids, hey, we're going to go against Arrowhead or Muskego, Muskego, they're like, oh, cool, we're going to go against them, but we're going to lose, you know? Where now it's like, oh, we haven't played any of these teams yet. So
the
mental side of it is, you know, a huge part of the game.
Sure. Now, how long have you been involved in the North program, if you don't mind asking?
Yeah, I came here in 2016.
Okay, so it's been quite
assistant,
a few years.
Yeah, as assistant coach, and then I took over during the COVID year. So what was that, 2019, 2020?
Okay. So you might remember it was that first year, and North led the way, and then South followed when A.J. Rabel was in charge of the program. You pulled out of the Waukesha youth football program. There was a feeling that it was just too biased towards West. And in that first year, you and South ran the table. And again, there's a lot of those teams that were in that, or Parkland teams like Eisenhower and, or Parkland Woodland, you know, Whitnall was in that conference, West Allis Central. And not only they won, but won big. And their only loss was to North.
Yeah.
In a good game that, you know, our star tailback was sick. He didn't play. And you guys won 20. The game was closer in the score, but North won that 20-0. And North had a great – you had a winning season that year, too. And so now imagine – it's too bad this senior class missed out on that same eighth-grade class.
Yep.
That was – this was their senior year. But so I can only imagine it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that eighth-grade class, because I think that was the year I was still an assistant, but I remember us pulling out of it, and they made it to that – championship game against Greenfield, and they lost in a heartbreaker.
That's
we talked about it because we ended up playing Greenfield when South canceled their season. We picked up the Greenfield game.
Oh, that's right. I was at that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good game.
that was a great game, and that was their the eighth graders. That was what they call their revenge game, you know, from that championship game. So.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Wow, that's neat. Yeah, I remember because South's playoff game that year, they played a team that had the same background as South. As fifth graders, South didn't get a single first down. Neither this team was from Belgium, Cottage Grove. Seventh grade, they didn't score a point. They got first down, so they didn't. Mm-hmm. Eighth grade, they finally scored their points, and they had like a 3 or 4 win season. That's like about 500. And then it was eighth grade came along, and then they, again, they were 6-1, 5-1, whatever that was. And that was just such an exciting time. And I have your, shall we say, your boss here, your immediate supervisor, Carl Anderson, who's him along with Dan Schreier were a big part of the success in moving South and North out of the Classic 8 and into the Parkland for football, but also the other teams going into the Woodland, right?
Yeah, that is the hope. That's the initial proposal that's been out there, and we are in full support of that proposal. It'll be a great thing for both of our programs and our schools just to be somewhere where we match a little bit better demographically, size-wise, and everything else, and just, you know, giving our guys a chance to compete on a night-in, night-out basis regularly. And that goes across the board in all sports. You know, I think something like girls tennis, where we did not win a match in a varsity conference game this year.
Okay.
They'll have a much better just chance to compete in the Woodland, along with many of our other sports. And the hope is that we get more kids out doing stuff because they're going to have a better experience.
Sure. Well, and especially for football, because like, you know, my son who played for South explained it. His buddies who played the line for them, it was just so debilitating playing the Classic 8 because you had guys that were...
Yeah, and our training staff will tell you they're real excited about the fact that we're hopefully going to see fewer injuries as well because we'll be playing teams that also have guys going both ways and are not all D1 bound linemen.
Yeah. Yeah, school rosters of 35 kids, which, you know, for a lot of other high schools is normal. It's not like these Big Ten-sized rosters that the Classic 8 have where there's like third or fourth stringers could start for a lot of other schools. So it's got to be a good feeling here on the North Campus. So, are you from Waukesha, Vince, originally?
So I grew up in Greendale. So, you know, hop, skipping away. And then I have lived in Waukesha-esque Pewaukee. So I've been around here enough.
Sure. Did you play ball in college, too?
Yeah, I ended up playing college ball at UW Oshkosh underneath Pat Cerrone.
Nice. That's where my wife went.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we loved it up there. I loved it so much I was there for a while.
Pat Cerrone.
Stayed for 4 more years.
Is his dad the legendary Sussex Hamilton basketball coach?
I think that's different. Okay. I think it's family related.
Okay, but
I think that's cousins.
Sure.
Or is it brother?
I
can't remember.
His son coaches basketball at Muskego. So,
yes.
But that's why I heard the name. Like, wait, I have to ask.
They're all related somehow.
Okay.
I don't know the exact family.
So you must know Coach Buddha really well at Carroll because he played at Oshkosh. Maybe a little older than you, but
he was a little bit before my time. But we've talked a couple times of different guys, and some of our guys have gone over there to coach or recruit, and so we keep pace, and it's always. How's the Oshkosh family tree going, you know?
Yeah. So, but it's nice that there's some good local college football coming together here at Carroll. It's been a lot
And he's doing some good stuff over there at Carroll,
too. He sure is, yeah. I got to broadcast all the games last season. And, you know, it wasn't how they wanted to finish, but, you know, in a tough conference like the CCIW, where the number one team is playing today, I was told not to give any scores in case John Stillman's listening.
Okay.
He played football and baseball at North Central. But that's, you know, again, arguably the toughest two conferences in Division III football right here with the CCIW and the WIAC where you played.
Yeah.
So that's terrific. So any predictions on tonight's game, Coach?
You know, I think North can compete with these guys. It's a matter of can they get hot and stay hot, right?
Yeah.
Kettle Moraine obviously has some size, great program as well.
Yeah.
But what Coach Redmond's doing with the North program right now is definitely taking some steps in the right direction. They already got a win underneath them, their belt.
Sure. Well, and that's why I was glad to come back after watching them play South last week is that their offense, the way they move the ball around, and the way the players move is very similar to what KM does in offense. And the defense, same thing, very aggressive. So this is going to be a lot like a football game, very physical. And so I think for sure you'll enjoy watching it.
Yeah, as I'm watching.
So go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's nice, too, that, you know, Coach Redmond's into year two. Coach Ciano can relate to this, but, you know, the guys all have run his system for a year. They know it. You can see the mentality gets better, that they don't get down as easily, and they stay calmer when they face adversity. So we're taking a lot of steps in the right direction.
Great. And will my good friend Nick Pridgen be back to help coach next year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. I actually just talked to him the other day.
Great guy.
Yeah. How do you know Nick?
I know him from one of my clients is Ronald McDonald House, and Nick does a little part-time work there. You know, full-time, he's a fireman, I believe.
Yep.
And then one day he was walking around the house with a North sweat, and I was like, did you play for North? He's like, no, I coach there. I'm like, really?
Yeah. So Coach Atwood played college ball with him over at Winona State.
Okay.
And so when we were looking for coaches, Pridgen's been obviously doing firefighter stuff for a little bit.
Sure.
And finally had some time in his hands. We were able to snag him up, and that's a great man.
He had
man
a heck
right
of
there.
A college career in high school. He was on some NFL watch list for a while, so that's a real coup, I think, for the North Stars to have a good young man like that in your squad.
Yeah, we have some great young coaches from 24 to 32 years old on our staff that are just hungry and just want to coach and want to win games.
I love it. You know, it's one thing my wife observed and other family members, because the Oconomowoc game, I know you didn't like the last play. What a heck of a game and just great. But the observation from South fans at that game was your coaching staff celebrated every play, every small victory on the field. And like that, you know, culture is important, that especially in a war game, you know, a collision sport like football. You got to have that positive mentality.
Well, you know, it goes back to what I said earlier. You know, over the last 20 years, we haven't won a lot of games, you know, at North.
Right.
And so we have to celebrate those small wins to start building up that mental confidence that they can compete, that they can win. And as soon as we start getting, you know, that ball over the other hill, that thing's going to start building up real fast.
Sounds good. So any final comments before we focus in on the game here, Coach Ciano and Carl Anderson?
I'd just say I'm going to build off of what Coach Ciano would say about building confidence, and it's something that actually Coach Ciano's working with me on, that we're looking at doing that across the board with the entire athletic department. I think this opportunity we have with the new conference in football and hopefully going through with everything else gives us a good chance to kind of hit a new beginning and really rock it off and showcase the place that North is for everything that we do here.
That's great. Coach?
Yeah, I'm excited for the new opportunity. You know, Classic Eight's a beast in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But the Parkland's no joke either. I know a lot of those coaches.
I
know a lot of those coaches, and those are some great coaches in that conference. So
great teams.
Now it's just a matter of can our guys compete with similar-sized guys, and we're looking for the opportunity.
Same here. Well, we look forward to catching that next year, North and South in the Parkland, and a new day for Waukesha football for sure. So head coach Vince Ciano, Waukesha North football, and athletic director Carl Anderson, and assistant principal too, right?
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the festivities tonight. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and the rest of the North Star family. And we look forward to having you guys on one of these Saturday mornings on the show. We've had Coach Radomski on before with Coach Stillman, and we'll figure that out.
I'd love to be on. Love to have you guys another game. So thanks for having us.
All right.
We'll
thanks
be back.
Again, Coach. You got it. Okay. We're going to take a quick station identification here on WAUK Radio, 101.1 FM, 540 AM, here on the Shaw. Anya, take it away, please.
You're listening to the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Keep you posted. Okay, welcome back to Kurt Larson Student Events Center here at Waukesha North High School. I'm Don Brown, and again, I had the privilege of having the varsity head coach Vince Ciano and the athletic director and vice principal Carl Anderson. So a great way to build up the pregame, and you know, this has all the makings of, you know, kind of a Big Ten, you know, rivalry game. You know, again, Kettle Moraine is a great athletic tradition, and they won state in football last year. I know they came close this year in the playoffs, and then in basketball they went to state, and this year they'd like to repeat. They have a new coach in Brian Rickard, but it's not his it's his first year, I believe, back with the Lasers. I think he may have coached previously before Coach Hughes was here, and so they really haven't missed a beat. And as Carl Anderson said, a great new culture and attitude here with Waukesha North with second-year coach Brandon Redmond. And, again, you're going to see very similar styles in their approach, both offensively and defensively. It's going to be a very physical game. There'll be a lot of passing on offense, a lot of moving around, setting up, I'd say, pretty versatile teams that can kill you in the paint as well as on the outside. And both teams are also really, they have a lot of success on offensive rebounds, so that'll be interesting to see who wins that battle. So could be one of those games that comes down to free throws at the end here. So buckle up. We're looking forward to it. We're going to take a quick one-minute break here on the Waukesha Sports High School Sports Radio Network on WAUK 101.1, 540 AM, and the Civic Media app. Anya, take it away, please.
Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah, freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast
breaking
milk.
Breast. Breaking breast.
Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Hey, welcome back to the Kurt Larson Student Event Center at Waukesha North High School. I am Don Brown, and this is Friday Night Game of the Week on WAUK 101. FM, 540 AM, The Shaw, and the Civic Media app. If you haven't already, folks, please do yourself a favor and download the Civic Media app so you can take WAUK with you everywhere. And again, tomorrow morning on This Week in Waukesha, 7 and 9, my hosts are the Swartz brothers, South Varsity soccer coach Billy, and younger brother, college basketball coach, and high school and collegiate star Julian Swartz. Amazing story about the Swartz family that we'll be sharing with you in a very special episode tomorrow morning. Can't wait for that. And hey, another announcement coming from Waukesha South too is for those wrestling fans, mark your calendars for December 21st, which is next Thursday night. It's Blackshirt Wrestling Alumni Night. All past Blackshirt wrestlers are invited to be recognized in their part in the program's history. The scheduled events include South versus Arrowhead, West versus Arrowhead, alumni recognition, and then South versus West. So that all starts at 4:30 on the December 21st. So mark your calendars if you love wrestling and you love sports in general. Both teams are now vacating the court and getting ready for the national anthem. First the WIA rules, the national anthem, and then our national anthem, then starting lineup. Excuse me. So we are going to listen here for. We don't have the marching band doing the national anthem, but we can take a quick 30-second break if you would, Anya, please, here on High School Basketball Radio Network WAUK. Thank you.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to our Student Event Center, Washington North. We actually have a choral performance of our national anthem. That's why I'm talking low, and if you can't hear it on our mic feed, really is nice, very pretty. So I'll pause for a moment. Wow, that was a really lovely rendition. It was the school chorus in Santa hats. Really nice vocal, slightly a cappella rendition of our national anthem. So, and now it's time for the starting lineups. And first they'll announce the visiting Lasers of Kettle Moraine, one of the elite programs in Classic 8 everything. Their JV2 team lost to North JV1, but JV1 came back with a commanding 25-point victory. So now the starting lineup they're announcing.